Nothing like coming up to preach when you just watch yourself on that video for 2 minutes. So that'll be a nice smooth transition, I'm sure, into our serious message today. Well, listen, I'm Mike. I was in that video. That was me. And I have the privilege to talk to you guys today. Pastor Larry is out. They are celebrating their 45th anniversary this weekend. Yes. Very excited. So do consider coming out to that Us Project. It should be fun. Just a couple hours. We'll watch your kids. We'll hang out. You can hear about some stuff going on at church. You can hear Larry and Margaret talk. Me and Jen will talk too, I guess. We'll tell you some stuff. So consider signing up for that. Should be a really good time. And also, don't forget to take one of those cards to pray for these kids. We've got about 100 kids in the back that weren't standing up there today. So lots of kids, and we need lots and lots of prayer. So I'm excited to continue our series on thirsting. Before we do, let's kind of switch gears back into serious mode after that video. So if you would, let's just bow our heads and let's pray, and then let's dive into God's word today. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to get to talk here today and to get to hopefully present something that you're speaking through me. God, I just thank you for your words. I thank you for the guidance we have. And Lord, as we look at how we can kind of quench our thirst for this desire to you, that we can learn something new here today. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to cough one time right now, and hopefully that's the last time you hear me cough. Okay. So a married couple, married somewhere between like 15 and 20 years, walks into their pastor's office kind of embarrassed. They are a good couple, a godly couple. They have all that they need. They have, you know, exactly 2.5 kids. They've got a dog. Like, they are, you know, seemingly in good shape. Husband has a good job, makes a good amount of money. Kids play sports, you know, good house, good life. But something has happened to them, and they don't really know when it started. But a distance has started to be created between them. They can't quite figure out what's going on. They just know they feel distant from each other. And so they go into the pastor's office and just say, look, we're not sure, you know, nothing bad has happened. There's been no infidelity. Like, there's no major occurrence that's happened. But we just kind of feel like, I mean, we're in the same house, but like we're living two different lives and just kind of going this direction. And I don't want that to happen. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, kind of where to go, some first steps that we can take. So the pastor looks at him and he says, what I want you guys to do is we're going to do a couple of exercises really fast. The first exercise is this. What I want you guys to do is I want you to tell me all of the stuff that's been bothering you or that bothers you about your spouse. Like, what do you wish was different about your spouse? And like instantly, both at the same time, they just started just spitting stuff out, right? Just this and this. I wish they would do this. I wish they didn't do this. I wish they would do this more. I wish they would do this less. The list just kept going and kept going. It was so easy to do. Like, it was just like they were just waiting to just like that. It's obviously they had been thinking about that. That has been the thing. Each of them thinks that the problems they're saying are the reason that the distance is happening. There's obviously like a little of animosity there and some hurt there, but they just instantly just spit out like 15 or 20 things each. And the pastor says, okay, great, thank you. Then he says, now let me ask you this. What is it that you loved about the other one when you first got married? What'd you love about him? And embarrassingly, these answers didn't come out quite as fast. So they had to stop. They had to think about it. And then slowly, they each started talking and saying some stuff. You know, he would talk about how kind she was. And she would say, you know, he was really funny. Love that. He was sensitive. I love that. He loved his family. I love that. He started talking about how he loved how much she laughed at his jokes and how much she just seemed to just like adore him. And he loved that about her. And he started talking about her laugh, and he got going on her laugh and was like, she has this laugh, and it's like this like cackle of a laugh, but she's self-conscious about it, and you really have to make her laugh. You used to have to really have to make her laugh to get this laugh out of her. But if you did, oh, it was the best. It was the best laugh. It was the best laugh. And so he says, okay, that's what you loved about him. What do you love about him now? And this took even longer to think about what it was that they did love about the other one now. So they finally got to it, and he said, you know, she is nurturing. Like, she's just very supportive of me. She's a great mom. You know, she just loves our family, and she is just always there for me. She respects me. And he had a list, and then went to the wife. And the wife came back, and she said, you know, he takes care of us, and he loves his kids so much, and he just is such a great provider. Like, I know he loves me, but it's just, you know, it's just hard. And it kind of hit them both, kind of seemingly simultaneously, as they were doing this exercise with this pastor, that when it came to appreciating the other one, it's not that the things that they loved about the other one went away. And it wasn't that there weren't things to be thankful for. It's just that through the chaos of life and the stress and the kids and the sports and the busyness, they just stopped looking and reminding themselves of who their spouse really was and why they loved them. I mean, simply put, they forgot to remember. And as we wrap up this series on thirsting today, I'm going to talk to you guys about a simple kind of a prayer. And just to kind of recap our series, if you haven't been here, we've been talking about something, this thirsting that we have, right? This craving that we have that just can't be satisfied by things of this world, right? That money and possessions can't cure. It's this longing we have for God that's built inside of us, that God put that longing inside of us from the very, very beginning. And then sin, there was the separation of sin, right? But that longing was still there. And we go about our days wanting more and more. And so we've been talking in this series of kind of how to quench that thirst. Like, what do we do to kind of experience the kingdom here on earth, right? You know, Jesus talked to his disciples and told them how to pray. He told them to pray for God's kingdom to come where? On earth, right? As it is in heaven. So it's something that we want, are these little kingdom snippets that we've got, right? These samples of the kingdom. And we can find these in different places. And we've been talking about how to find those samples of the kingdom through prayer to help quench our thirst. Last week, we talked about praying through pain, right? Praying through shame. That was the praying naked. You'll never forget that. We've also looked at lamenting and just kind of praying just to talk to God, right? But today, we're going to talk about a different kind of a prayer, and I really want to, just because last week was kind of like draining as far as having to, you know, think about praying through shame and pain. It's a really, really hard thing. But for the sake of today, I just kind of want to simplify things a little bit. And I want to offer you a reminder for most of you, maybe just an introduction to this idea of a different kind of prayer. Just a prayer of remembering. Remembering who God is. And where he's active in your life. And then through that remembering, I think what you're going to see is we kind of instinctively, when we recognize where God is, start to give thanks. And then through that thanks, we find reverence for our Creator, and we trust who he is, and we find peace that follows, and that thirst begins to get quenched, and we start to find moments of the kingdom simply by remembering who God is and where he's at in our lives. This is an important kind of a prayer because there's something just so amazing about stopping and remembering all of the places that God is in your life. And if you can do it, it just kind of naturally leads to this place of thanks. Remembering the goodness of God leads to reverence and thanks and peace. But sometimes, though, like our couple, we forget to remember. And we just get caught up in the things that maybe we don't like and how things are going that he's not doing that we want him to be doing. And we feel like there's a distance created. And when we forget to remember all that God is doing and all that he has done, again, the distance happens. And our thirsting goes unquenched. Pete Gregg has a great book. It looks like this. It's called How to Pray. If you're interested in prayer, you should read this book. It's a great book. It's a simple book. There is not a more simple book on prayer in the world. He goes through different types of prayer. It's a great book. In his book, he says, it is by remembering that we start to see how present God is in our lives, at work in all things, all places, all people, at all times. And we see the importance of remembering who God is. This isn't like a new idea of like remember who God is. We see it just throughout the Bible. It's littered throughout the Bible. The Old Testament is full of talking about remembering God, right? And in the New Testament, it's also in there, of course. In the Old Testament, we see like the different feasts that we've got, and these days are important for lots of different reasons and significant purposes. But one of them is just to remind the Israelites of who God is and what all he has done for them. There are these reminders. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, Feast of Tabernacles. You know, we've got celebrations. We've got Sabbath, of course, that we talk about. We're going to talk a lot more about Sabbath coming up. These different days just to stop to remember who God was and to give thanks for all that he's done. There's passages just throughout the Bible about the importance of just remembering God. 1 Chronicles 16:12, David talks about this, his celebration song, and says, remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles, and the rulings he has given. Isaiah tells us when God is kind of a little upset with the Israelites, and they kind of keep forgetting who he is. It says this, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, there is none like me. Remembering is important. In Deuteronomy, God reminds the Israelites, he's a tough but fair God. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. All through the Psalm, we see remembering. All through the Bible, we see remembering. In the New Testament, probably a famous, not remembering, but remembrance. If I say remembrance, you know where I'm going, right? With Jesus and that Last Supper, and they have the bread and they have the cup, and he asks them to take this in what? Remembrance of me. And as we take it to this day, we take it to remember the sacrifice that was made. Life gets really busy. Satan is really good. Anything he can do to distract you and to pull you away from God, he will absolutely do that. Sometimes the key is lamenting. Sometimes the key is going to God with questions. Sometimes the key is just telling God what you want. But sometimes the key is just to remember just who God is and what all he's doing around you. And I think it's clear, obviously, that throughout history in our own lives, when we take our eyes off of God, right, we start to slip and we lose reverence. And then when we do that, we really shrink God down and we start to disconnect. And issues happen when we start to disconnect, right? Back to our married couple. They'd slipped. Right? The distance it happened. They didn't want to slip. They weren't trying to slip. Probably lots of different reasons why they did slip, but one big one was that they simply just didn't take time to remember what it was that they loved about the other one. They just stopped looking for things to love and appreciate, and they started just dwelling on the things they didn't love and that they didn't appreciate. And the gap widened. So today, when we work on kind of how we want to not forget to remember, that's kind of a weird thing to say, right? Through prayer, we're going to go to Psalm 77. And we're eventually going to get through this whole chapter here. This is a psalm. If you've got your Bible, we're going to read this. We're going to pick up in verse 11. This is a psalm of Asaph is who wrote this here. I'm going to read this to you, and it's just kind of a reminder of when we remember God, the good things that can happen as a result simply of remembering, and it reminds us of just who God is. It says this, in the second part of verse 11. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared, and the whirlwind, the lightning, and the from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. This is someone who starts to remember God and just gets going on how amazing God is right now and how amazing he has been. He just needed to remember. We're going to talk about why here in just a little bit. So how do we remember just who God is, right? How do we know what to be thankful for? What do we pray? Today I'm going to give you a little tool for the toolbox, okay, with prayer. If you're someone that is just, you can all of the time recognize every moment that God is present, good or bad, and you just basically nonstop give him thanks, take a nap, okay? But if that's not you, if maybe you struggle a little with finding God in all of the moments or even taking time to remember who God is, then this is for you. This tool is for you. I'm going to give you a method of praying. And the method is called the examine prayer. So a reminder for some of you, if you've heard of this, if not, I'll introduce it to you. Again, this is just a method of prayer. This is just kind of a way, if you're like, I want to be more thankful for who God is. I want to recognize where God is in my life. I'm not quite sure how to do that. The examine prayer is what I would suggest. This was created by St. Ignatius of Loyola. You guys know that guy? No? Founder of the Jesuits in the 16th century, right? And this prayer is really just a prayer to look to find God in all things is kind of the gist of this, right? And there's a few steps to it. It's originally in Latin, so it's hard to, you know, it's tricky. In the book, How to Pray, Pete Gregg kind of presents kind of a four-step simplified version of this that I would encourage you to do. Because again, I know sometimes we feel like, well, I don't need the list to tell me how to pray. I get that. If you're wonderful at praying all these things by yourself, do it. But if you struggle with it at all, I do. I struggle sometimes to think about where is God in these moments and through my day. Because sometimes I'm going to bed and it's just like, what just happened today? I don't even know what happened today. Like the day is over and it was just a blur. And I'm just trying to get through today, let alone stopping to think about where I saw God in the moments of my life. But if I'm looking to quench that thirst as a believer, as a follower, if I know that desire I have, that emptiness I have, isn't quite from an earthly possession, but it's actually from a longing for God, then I need to try to quench that thirst. So for me, nightly, I try to go through this prayer, this examine prayer. And there's four steps to this prayer. Replay, rejoice, repent, reboot. We're going to go through all four of these things on the examine prayer. The first one is to replay, right? The goal of this is to think, where did I see God throughout my day? Now, what we tend to do, what I tend to do, if you ask me, did you have a good day or a bad day, I'll say good or I'll say bad. Rarely am I thinking about like the intricate details of what made that answer come to be. It was generally good or it was generally bad. What this does, this idea of replaying is, it's the idea is for you to really go through your day. I mean, set aside some time to do this. Go through the day. I mean, hour by hour. Think of the details of the entire day. And think about within those details, where did I see God? Where was there a blessing? Where was God present? Good moments or bad? Or bad. Where is God? If we believe that God is around at all times and he is at work at all times, we've got to take some time to think about where that is actually occurring in our life. And by doing that, it'll lead us to our next step, but we're not quite there, right? So if we're thinking about our replay, right? So, I got up. Me and my daughter got up the other day before anybody else. I made her lunch. She ate breakfast. We got to talk about her day, right? And we then walked to school. And then I got to have a run. And then, you know, I got my other daughter ready for school. And then she went to school. And then I went to work. And so I'm just like hour by hour. And it's easy for me to say what I did that morning was hectically, we got up, we got to school. I went for a run, rushed to work. But if you break this thing down, I got to have breakfast with my daughter. Just me and her. You think I can find God in the middle of that somewhere? Absolutely. We walked to school. Has anyone noticed the sky lately in the morning? It has been wild. It's beautiful. It's crazy. And we paid attention to the sky. If you just pay attention to the sky, can you see God in that? Right? So the idea of this is just slowing things down. Replay your day. Where did you see God? Again, even in bad things, in a conflict, in sickness, maybe a tragedy. Like to really force yourself, not so much to figure out why it happened, but where did you see God in the middle of it? Sometimes this is so easy. Like sometimes this is just a breeze and you're gonna do this and you're like, I saw God 100 different places today. Like it was everywhere I saw him. Blessings all around. This is easy. Yay, God, you're the best. But sometimes it's really hard because again, we just kind of want to generalize things as good or bad. We're not thinking in specifics. We're not thinking in where, we just think in why. Right? Why did this happen? Right? Lamenting, which we talked about, of just kind of being frustrated or mad with God, appropriate. You should be doing this. You should be asking God for things. It's fine to not understand the things, but it's also fine and appropriate to take time to recognize where God is and just remove that why for a little while. A way to look at this when it gets tough is this idea of rummaging for God. That's a way to kind of say this, right? Anybody have a junk drawer at their house? Yes. My family has been blessed because we actually have two in our house. Glory. So we've got two junk drawers at our house. I know the fingernail clippers are in there. They're in there. That's where they go. I put them in there. I make sure they go in there. The other day, I needed fingernail clippers. I opened the drawer. Did I see the fingernail clippers at glance? I did not, right? What did I have to do? I had to rummage through that drawer, man. I had to dig through just what? I didn't stop. I had to stay focused. I'm just digging through it. I didn't stop to think, why is this in here? There was food in there. How did the food get in here? You know what I mean? There's a passport in here. This should be in a safer place than this junk drawer. I didn't stop and dwell on those things. I kept rummaging, looking for those fingernail clippers, and I eventually found the fingernail clippers. When we do this idea of replay, when we engage in this idea of replaying our day, it's going to be really easy to just get stuck on the why did this happen? Why did this happen? This was bad, I don't know about this, I got to work on this. But if we're really truly rummaging for God, we keep our focus just on looking for him through all of the stuff of the day. We're digging and we're digging and we're digging and we rummage and we look for where God is. Step one of the examine prayer is replay. Step two is to rejoice, right? Think of all of those places. So if you do this and you say, maybe you wrote it down, I've got my list, 20 different places that I saw God today. The next step naturally kind of flows to this. If you're like, I saw God 20 different times today and I didn't think I was gonna see him at all. And I didn't think I saw him at all. The next step is to rejoice, to say thanks to God for those moments, to say thanks for God. Thanks to God for that breakfast you had, for that sky that was so beautiful, for that conflict that got resolved that you didn't just blow up on, right? Even maybe in something bad, where did you see something where something bad was happening that you found God in the middle of that? And to say thank you, God, for that. To look for God in the good moments. And when the moments are hard, we believe that he's still there, right? You guys know this one? It's in the Bible. Psalm 23. As I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will not be afraid. Why? Because God is with us, right? God is with me. He is with you even in the dark. And even in the darkness and even in the darkest moments, we rejoice. So when we think about the day, the good stuff, we say thank you. When we think about the bad stuff, but we can still see that God is with us and walking along right beside us, even when we feel completely alone and ashamed, he is there with us. So we say thank you. Sometimes we just need to remember where he is and not just why we're there or why he's letting things happen. for us just to be truly thankful. Listen, again, there's time and a place to lament and to question God. But for this method, like instead of why'd you let this bad thing happen, right? For examine, for this prayer, we're focusing on where was God evident in the middle of something bad, right? This is a tricky but powerful method. Recently, we had an issue with our 17-year-old son. He got into some trouble. I know, I can't believe it either. A pastor's kid getting in trouble. Who ever heard of it? He got into some trouble. Stupid choices. Made some dumb decisions. Got into trouble. It's kind of a thing. Kind of a big deal, right? And it was like a heavy weight. I mean, as a parent, you know, when your kid gets in trouble or makes these choices, there's just lots of like, how did this happen? How did we get there? Am I a horrible parent? Like, what is going on? Like, with what's going on? How could he do this? He's an idiot. Like, what is happening? Like, how is this my child? That sort of a thing. And it's easy to get frustrated and like, you know, what if other people find out? Is this going to ruin his life? Like, we'll be in prison now. Like, is this the beginning of the end? Like, all of these things that you go through as a parent, it's easy to do. And I think it's okay to do that stuff. And we've got to think about how we need to process through this and what we need to do. But even in the middle of this, we took some time to say, we've got issues we're going to deal with. And we've got questions about how we got here. But where can we see God in this? Like, where's God at work in this? As I kind of stepped back and looked at how my son handled this, I was kind of proud of him, which that sounds weird, but he just took full responsibility and was completely just humble about it, took the responsibility, apologized. He was so brokenhearted at how sad his mom was about the situation. Like, it really, truly hurt him. And I think that we made a really great step in our relationship and conversation that we've never had before. And I saw through my son, like, the development of, like, a godly man starting to take shape. I mean, I would have not chosen that path if given the option. But can you see what I'm saying? It just takes, like, a little bit of just stepping back. Like, the junk will be there, and the stuff will be there, and the why is this happening is going to be there. But sometimes we just have to step back and think about where is God in this moment. And you can find him in those moments. And when we find him in those moments, we rejoice and we say thank you. Think of your everyday if you just said thank you to God for all the places that you saw him. What if you took time to look for him in every hour of your day? So we replay our day, we rejoice, and the next thing is to repent, right? And if you go through your day, obviously, some things are going to come up that you're probably not like super proud of. Right? Like, you're not like super pumped at how you acted or what you said or how you did. I always say that I live in like perpetual torment of my daily life and my failures as a dad and husband. It's like a daily, I go to bed and it's like, I did the thing I said I was not going to do. Like, I got upset when I said I was not going to get upset. I said something I should not have. It's just a daily thing for me. So, if you do this, it's okay. This happens. This is part of going through your day. But as you come across these things, when we're talking about examine, don't dwell on those things, right? Don't act like they're not a thing. Embrace them for a moment and give them to God and say, God, take this from me. I'm working on it. I'm sorry. Thank you for forgiving me for these things that I constantly fall short at. Thank you, God, for loving me enough to know what a mess I am and still loving me and still forgiving me. Giving stuff to God, repenting to a lot of us, like giving God our sins, it feels like such a, like we talked about the last week with shame a little bit, right? Like if we don't bring it up, God's not going to know what's going on. You know what I mean? We talk about that. But there's something so freeing about truly repenting and giving God your sin and just saying, God, I'm sorry. And knowing that no matter how bad it was, how bad of a thing that you had done that day, how short you just keep falling in how you're living, how amazing it is to know that you have a Father in heaven that loves you enough to forgive you. And when we talk about things to be thankful for, what could you be more thankful for than forgiveness? Right? Remember the bread and the cup and what that signified. That on that cross, all of that shame and guilt and anger and this mess that brings you down was up with Jesus there on that cross. And when he died, it died with him. And he rose from the dead. And now when we call on the name of the Lord, we're saved from having to just live in that constant heartache and pain and guilt of knowing that we're not good enough. Because we're not good enough to the world, but to God, you are good enough. And he forgives you. So it's necessary daily to go to God with your mess. Give it to him. Say, God, I'm sorry. Thank you for forgiving me. The psalmist in Psalm 51 asked God to purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Think about that. That's how God sees you. It's whiter than snow. Isn't that crazy? Think what a mess you are. That is something to truly be thankful for. As you go through your day, replay where you see God. Thank him for that. Repent from the stuff that's holding you back from being closer to God and tell him thanks. And lastly, to reboot. A lot of different ways to do this, a lot of theories. The big idea is this. We're just taking a deep breath, right? Like, let's all take a deep breath. Put your hand in front of you because COVID's kind of coming back, right? Breathe in. Just hold it for a second. And breathe out, right? You do this at the end of the day. You go through this. Think about this. Like, think of your normal sleepy time routine, right? What if this ended the day? Like, what if this was the end of the day for you? We recognize where God was, right? Through replaying our day. We rejoiced. We gave him all of our mess. We thanked him for that forgiveness. Now we're white as snow. And we take a deep breath and we just go to sleep. Think about how different your brain would be at bedtime if that's the last thing you thought about before you went to sleep versus whatever it is you're thinking about right now for a lot of us, me included, lots of time before we go to sleep. Rebooting is important. Take a deep breath, then we get up, do it all again tomorrow. Right? How different would your perception of God be if you like truly took time to think about everywhere that you saw him every single day? And even on those bad days when you struggled to see him, how big of a list would you have to go off of when you needed to remember a time when God was present in your life? Like, think of your list. Think if you wrote down a list every day of where you saw God. Think how much easier it would be for you when you struggle to see God or think if he's actually there to go back to that list and say, remember these 5,000 times that you saw God and you didn't think that he was there. Remember that. He's there right now. Like, how amazing would that be? How much more thankful would you be for all that he is and all that he's done? If we just kind of put down the busy stick for a while, right? Gave God some time and we just reflected to really look for those samples of the kingdom that we thirst for so much, but that we struggle so often to find. How much more would you appreciate the forgiveness promised by the cross and the peace that it brings if every day you laid out your sins to him that you wanted to turn away from? And said, thank you for forgiving me and guiding me to change. How quenching to your thirst would that be? Now, I recognize there's a small issue that can come up and trip us up as we start to do this, because the idea of not focusing on why is really hard when we start to think about our day, especially if things are going rough for us. And I keep saying if things are going rough for us, like, let's be honest, things are kind of always rough in a certain area. It's a fallen, broken world. Like, we're separated from God. There's always issues, right? There's always stuff going on. So I don't want to skip past that or act like everything is just wonderful. And I don't want to just dwell on it because, again, there's time to lament and all of these things. But it's hard sometimes when it's hard to focus on God and to not focus on just the why. But I want to do today is I just kind of want to challenge you to just accept the possibility that a missing component in the midst of lamenting and questioning and frustrated and I don't know what's going on and everything's a wreck around me, like maybe the possibility of what's missing is you just focusing on where and trusting that that might turn things around, at least for the sake of peace that you have. It might not solve the problem, but it might bring you peace. If we go back to Psalm 77, and we start from the beginning, what we see is not someone who is thankful in Asaph. Let's read this. Let me know how thankful you think he sounds at the beginning of this. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. Does this sound thankful? Not quite, right? We're lamenting. Like, that's what we're doing. And that's okay. Because watch what we do here. Look what he chooses to do next, right? But then I recall all you have done. Right? Then he recalls. Then we start remembering who God is. And then we get the part that we read. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. Look how much he's referencing God in the middle of all of this, right? They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherd. The moment when Asaph took time to remember just who God was and all the things that he had done was all that he needed to turn that lament and despair to thankfulness and to hope, and to peace. All because he took that time just to simply remember who God was and had been and who will always be. Again, I'm not suggesting that lamenting and crying out wasn't necessary. It's actually the opposite. I think all of these things are necessary. Paul talks about in Thessalonians this idea to pray without ceasing. I think our goal is to just be constantly always be communing with God and talking about where we're at. So all of these things of lament and stuff are necessary, but one necessary component that cannot be overlooked is the component of remembering who God is and where he's at. And remember that sometimes answers and peace are found in the where and not in the why. Right? Asaph didn't find peace in resolution, he found peace in presence and recognizing who God was. So I got a challenge for you guys this week. You up for a challenge?
Yes.
Okay, six of you, cool. well, I'll still give it to you just in case you change your mind. Right, think about this. What if every day this week you committed to this method of prayer, right? Every day you did this. And I would really recommend the night thing. You can do whatever you want to do it. There's not like a right and wrong way. God's not going to be like, nope, I don't accept. Like, it's not, that's not how this prayer works. This is just the method. But like, what if every night this week you decided to kind of end the day with this idea of examine, right? The replay, rejoice, repent, and refresh. And if you have kids, like a tip, we have small kids, like we call this like our thankfuls, right? So at night, like no matter how grouchy we are or how hard it was to get to bed that night, like we're taking time to think like, what are we thankful for today? Like what happened that we were thankful for? Sometimes the answer is nothing. That happens sometimes. But if you don't let it, if you say like, I don't accept nothing, like we're not gonna stop this questioning until we think of something that we're thankful for, and then just tie in that God's in the middle of the things that we're thankful for. It's a pretty cool tool to have. And when it comes to repentance, this is a hard thing for young kids to understand. I'm not asking you to get super deep. You know your kid's maturity level. But just the idea that God forgives me no matter what is a pretty cool thing to understand when you feel like you just keep messing up and that you're not good enough and that there's lots of shame involved. Not saying your child has to understand the significance of forgiveness, but it's a great thing to remind them that God forgives them no matter what. It's a good thing to remind you that God forgives you no matter what. And we say thank you, God, for that. So you tweak this, you do this how you want. Like perfecting examine is not the goal. This is just a tool, right? The goal is really finding that reverence for our Creator and just looking for places where we can see God in our day-to-day life. Because we want to remember God, right? We don't want to be like that couple and have this distance between us and God. And sometimes there's lots of factors, but we definitely want to say we're going to eliminate the possibility that us not paying attention to where God is a factor. We're not letting that be a possibility. All else fails, we will know, we will recognize where God is in our life. And we'll look to experience samples of his kingdom here on earth simply by remembering who he is and what all he is doing. We're going to choose to not forget to remember. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today, God. I thank you so much for loving us. I thank you so much for being so present all around us at all times, and I'm really sorry that we forget to slow down and look for you. God, today I pray for every single person in this room that they will be making sure to take the time to just go to you in prayer for the things they need, for the things they want, for the hurt they have, for the pain they have, for whatever it might be, God, but let them also go to you and say thanks. And I pray for every single person in this room, God, to take some time this week and maybe days after that to really just stop and reflect on their day to see just how prevalent and how obvious it is that you are all around us and working in lots of ways that sometimes we're just too busy to see. Let us slow down life at least at the end of the day to recognize where you are. And not just focus why you're doing on things, but simply just to see where you are and to say thanks. And God, when we go to you with the sin that we've got, as hard as that might be, don't let the enemy pull that away and make it feel like we don't need to do that, God. Let us give you our sin. Let us have confidence to give you the sin, knowing that that cross was enough and that your son dying for us was enough to take that sin with him. And let us give thanks when we recognize that that is the case. And God, let us reboot and breathe and just breathe out and just accept that we are whiter as snow in your eyes, no matter how we see ourselves or how the world sees us, and give thanks for that, God. And let us go through our day by day remembering you, choosing to remember you so that we do not forget to remember who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.